Oscar Appreciation Sunday, Mom and Dad. I know this community is so thankful to have you both. You guys are just the most loving and caring people to each person you encounter, and we are all so blessed to have you in our lives. And I know I am extremely grateful to have you both as parents and could not be prouder to be your daughter. I love you both so much.
Hey, Mom and Dad. I just want to take a moment to tell you how much I appreciate both of you, not just for what you guys do for our family, but for the entire community. Your love, dedication, and support mean the world to us. I love you both.
10 years. What a fantastic milestone. We're so proud of you, Artie, for the pastor that you've become over the years. Several words describe for Sherry and I the man that God created and that you are increasingly becoming, I think. These would include insightful and encouraging, winsome, tender-hearted, intuitive, inclusive, calming, but especially authentic, I think. Even if that includes Big Sexy and Abba Anthony. You've been an old soul from the time I first met you 30 years ago. And you know, a large part of being able to stay as pastor for 20 years in Christ Community was your presence as my cohort in trying to figure out how to be and do what God had called us to be and do when we didn't have a clue. Notice how I rhymed that. Our prayer is that you would fully fulfill your calling and your mission with joy and with tenacity, no matter what you face or how you feel. And also, a big shout out to you, Jennifer. All pastor spouses should be more appreciated and noticed, acknowledged for their contribution in the work that God is doing. Well done, Abba Anthony. One thing that I still appreciate about you is that you don't need me.
Has been to be an employee of Christ Community Church, beginning in 1980 as church secretary and director of children's ministries. I have been an eyewitness to many years of history here. My time with Artie goes way back. I was an eyewitness to the marriage of Jen and Artie in 1993, and then they headed to Kansas City, Missouri, to attend the Grace Training Center at Metro Church. Tim, and I so appreciate his words, Tim Lehman became our pastor in 1994. And in 1997, the elders decided to extend the call to Artie to be our youth pastor at Christ Community. When he arrived with his wife and baby daughter for the first Sunday, he caused quite a bit of excitement. Because, now remember, this was 1997, he was sporting an earring. I was an eyewitness and an ear witness to a lot of this. Okay. Through his years as a youth pastor, he and I have had some interesting times together because we didn't work the same way. My idea of a job was you went to work, you stayed all day, and you went home that evening. Artie didn't operate this way, and he was frequently missing. As the church grew, we added the youth building and then the portables east of the big building, and he was seen less and less because his office moved back there. It seemed like, you know that game, Where's Waldo? It seems like I was playing Where's Artie. Drove me crazy. And when I did see him, he would be dressed in jeans or shorts or no shoes. Mostly no shoes. Later, I learned that he spent much of his time joining his students for lunch at their schools, taking them out for a hike, meeting them at the park, and other places for conversation and building relationships. Even though he dressed like a kid, and he was frequently missing, anything I asked of him, he would do. His office was an absolute mess with dirty clothes, dirty and old food, junk supplies, books. But I was an eyewitness to his servant's heart. He was a brilliant Caraway cast member. He was our tech person for several 4th of July musicals. Sorry, I'm getting such dry mouth. How do you do this? And he was a vital part of Vacation Bible School Weeks, and he still is. You can see on the slide. You can see on the slide, he was even willing to dress up as a baby and be pushed into the auditorium on a 10-foot-tall red high chair in one of the kids' musicals. Do you know the song we sang when he came in? It was Amy Grant's Fat Baby. So, it will probably surprise some of you to know that when Artie was called to be our senior pastor in 2014, I was not a fan. I loved this young man, this eccentric, self-confessed nerd, but as senior pastor, I remember Artie coming into my office to ask me if I was going to continue to work at the church. Remember that?
Yes.
My response was, I was a team player, and I plan to stay. Well, and one of the first positive changes was when he asked the staff to no longer refer to him as Big Sexy. That was good. Another positive change was staff meetings. The calendar and planning sessions that the former pastor had left with us were way too filled with futile conversation. And Artie replaced it with Bible and book studies. I could get on board with that. Additional staff was hired. It began to feel as if we were moving and growing. The nerdy youth pastor began to preach messages filled with content and thought-provoking concepts. I was being taught to read Scripture as his story, their story, our story, my story. The kingdom is coming. The kingdom is now. Liturgy, lament, pushing back the darkness. These were concepts that were changing my life. Restoration and renewal began to replace fear. And I am so grateful to you, Artie, that I no longer, and to Jesus, that I no longer live in the bondage of Egypt. There was struggle and grief during those years, too. Broken relationships, messy and imperfect people bumping up against each other, and we hurt each other. Dealing with fallout broke hearts. But Artie, our pastor, modeled forgiveness, even though it was sometimes imperfect. And he taught us to love others as Jesus loves us. And then 2020, in the same month that our son Todd became terminally ill, COVID slithered into all our lives and our worlds changed. And now Pastor Artie, my senior pastor, came every time we called him during those 2 months that Todd was sick. He laughed with us, cried with us, and he loved on us when the world shut down. We were then, and we are now, beautifully loved, seen, understood, equipped, and changed. Thank you, Artie. We love you. In closing, on this great adventure with Jesus and our senior pastor that's ahead of us, I pray, my hope and prayer is that we can write our own big story in Ardmore, America, through acts of love, kindness, and compassion that renew the understanding and expression of Christianity in this generation. Thank you.
Pardon?
Any comment?
The elders.
Elders, would you come up to the stage, please, per my instructions? I mean, that were given to me.
Yes, it does.
Well, y'all, good morning. I'm Bud Webb, and this is Doug Dean, Grant Huggins, and Dr. Mike Carnahan's missing this morning. He's traveling. We're the elders here at Christ Community, and we would like to present Artie with a gift. And I've been down there kind of hyperventilating in my seat trying to figure out what I was going to say. But for the shy introvert, it's kind of been a challenge. Anyway, I thought I would just simply pray for Artie and maybe say a couple of things. But I guess the main thing would be is that my life has been challenged by Artie for the better. Artie, you and Jen, you have compelled me to think differently about Jesus and about his kingdom. You have compelled me to love and love more and love better. I think there's a room full of people here that could actually say those things. Those things that Tim said and those things that Linda said. Again, a room full of people who could have said those same things. So, thank you. And by the way, I think that we have a really cool history here. But in my opinion, and I believe it's all of our opinion, best years are ahead of us at Christ Community. I really believe that. And so we will present our gift to you, and I will pray for you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for our brother Artie, and I thank you that all of our lives, all of our spiritual formation, especially for every one of us in this room, is so tied to Artie and Jen's lives that as they go, so we go. And I thank you for his leadership. I thank you especially for his yieldedness to you, for his love for us, for his love for his family and the way that's been modeled to us. And I just thank you, God, that we are hopeful, all of us here, that the best years really are ahead of us, that we've got such a rich, such a cool history, but that we can hope for a future because you're there with us. And so I thank you, God, for the opportunity just to be up here and to bless our brother and bless our sister. And I just thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, I've had the privileges of being part of similar kinds of moments in churches and in celebrations. Testing, 1, 2. I can go back to the Pentecostal mic. I like that anyway. Okay, wait, here I am. Thank goodness for vocal surgeries. And I've maybe at times wondered what that would be like. It is very humbling, and it fills me with gratitude. And so really, the most sincere thing I can say to all of you is thank you. It has been a privilege to serve this community for 10 years as senior pastor, but I guess we've been here 28 years now. And I am so aware at 50 that the work of God never hinges upon one person in a way that probably I wasn't aware of even 10 years ago. It is humbling because you all have become my life. I thought you would just be a stepping stone in a career or the great things that I was supposed to do, like I was told in seminary and a youth and I don't know what I was thinking that ministry is supposed to look like, but I grew up in kind of a triumphalistic kind of, you know, mega vision type of Christianity that if you were a pastor, that meant that you were really a short, I mean, you were really you got to be like a little mini celebrity because we kind of hero worshiped our people and so forth. And I have just been lucky enough to have been intercepted by wiser voices as I've gotten older. And this is not a job. As I said, you all are our life. Not just my life, our life. This isn't an office. This is a community. I mean, these are the people that I call whenever life goes dark, whenever I have a need. In some ways, I've felt like many of us have quite literally grown old together. And I just want to say thank you because it is such a privilege to serve. And so I'm looking forward to the next 10 years. And I am just so grateful for all of you. I knew something was happening this morning. Whoever decided to do videos and these words before I got up to do this, we're going to have a talk later this week. But I do deeply, deeply appreciate it. I was not expecting that. So I'm a little trying to kind of pull out of that and transition back to this right now. But just to say thank you. And as I reflected on the staff and the leadership and the group leaders and Bible study leaders and just all of the people that make up this community. And I told the elders as we were praying this morning and I looked around the room, I could specifically remember various moments in which the grace of God was brought into my heart and transformed me just a little bit more because of individual interactions with every single one of those men. That because of those men, I don't know whether, I hope that I'm a better pastor, but I know I'm a better father, I'm a better husband, and I'm a better human being because you all represent Christ to me every single week. And when I feel Christ is distant, you never are. And so thank you for that. Now, I will say when I came, I read a youth ministry article that said if the church secretary and the youth pastor get along, one of them's not doing their job. And I remember reading that thinking, well, that's cynical. So, Linda, that thank you so much for taking time to do that. You and your family mean the world to me. And there is no concept of who Artie Favre is without his friendship with Todd Morris. And so I am very grateful to you all and that you held in there. So they told me to prepare a briefer sermon this morning. So I decided I'd preach through Genesis 37 through 50. Plus, I mean, to be not up here for 5 weeks and then be told 20 minutes, I mean, we'll see. No, I wanted to take a moment and reflect, because it was a season. This whole year has been reflective for us, just in the knowledge that it's been 10 years that we've been privileged to be the senior pastors here at Christ Community Church. And as I was reflecting on that, oftentimes, and some of you know, and if you've been here prior to 2017, you know I've spoke what I'm going to speak about this morning already. Because the life of Joseph often means so much to me every time I revisit it. And as I reflected upon the life of Joseph again and thought about my life, but more specifically thought about our lives together. Because really today is a celebration of this community, and there is not one minister at Christ Community Church. We are a community made up of multiple ministers. And so I just wanted to take a minute to celebrate God's faithfulness to us over the past 10 years, because I want to acknowledge the joy and appreciation and privilege of this day. But it's important for all of us to also recognize this day came down a path that was sometimes really hard and dark, and that all of that is God's plan. The celebrations of this morning and those days when I thought I probably need to resign are all part of the same plan. And so it is okay to have to live through dark days and hard times, because that is often the direction of God's will. But they don't remain that way. We also get these moments here. And it's a moment this morning that I am savoring, but we all have our lives sprinkled with these moments, but they're also mixed with the difficulties of getting here. But this is the beauty of this privilege, is that we recognize we want to be more than Christians. We want to follow Christ. And if we're going to follow Christ, then we're going to be invited to death. We're going to be invited to take up our cross daily and follow him. But the other side of that choice is we participate in resurrection life. And every time we experience a death, resurrection life is right around the corner. And it is as consistent as the sun will rise tomorrow. Whatever darkness and death you're in today, resurrection life is coming. And you get to not only participate in that for yourself, but you get to be that for other people. And it's the best life possible. So let's take a moment as we reflect on the past 10 years. Let's look at Joseph. We will be starting in Genesis 37, and we will end in Genesis 50. We'll see whether or not it gets to be a briefer sermon or not. But I want to reflect on his life, because particularly I want to reflect upon the theme in which the Bible spends so much time allowing us to see his story, how he has dreams and challenges and disappointments and restoration, and his journey often mirrors our own journey as individuals, but it also has mirrored our journey as a church family. Joseph's story shows us that God works through every season, and he has done the same here at Christ Community Church. So when we first see that story of this young man, Joseph, he's only 17 years old. He wears basketball shorts and t-shirts and no shoes, probably. And God intercepts the flow of Joseph's life. We're not told Joseph is a young man seeking God, seeking dreams, seeking visions, but that's exactly what he gets, because God inserts himself in the story of Joseph. And so Joseph, as we know, was blessed with a dream, and God gives him insight into his intention and will for Joseph's life over the plan that God has for him over a lifetime. It's not going to happen tomorrow, but he gets this insight to recognize that. But he's the only one happy about these dreams that God has given him. Because at the point of sharing them, that's when the problem comes. These dreams cause tension with his brothers, who couldn't understand or even appreciate them, even though there would be a day when they would. It would take decades before they would get there. And so Joseph has this time of awakening. And like Joseph, we've had our own seasons of dreaming here. God has given us a vision and a mission, and he is defining the community that we are becoming. And as Linda has already mentioned it once, I want to say it again, because I am so... This is not something I said in my office and did by myself. This is a result of so many people praying and seeking God and having hours of conversation, sometimes that were fun and sometimes that were exhausting. And yet God was working through all of it to give to us this direction of who we are becoming in this next season of who we are at Christ Community Church. And our vision is to be a community so rooted in God's love that we are renewing the understanding and of expression of Christianity in our generation. And the way he's called this community to do that is he's given us a mission. And the mission is very simple. And we will be able to happily spend the rest of our lives accomplishing it. We are called to be true to Christ, to be kind to all people, and to be the body of Christ in our community and beyond. This is the dream that God has given us, and we're called to take moments to reflect upon and dream these dreams, because the dreams are the stuff that inspires us to live remarkable stories. And that Most of all is our heart. We long to be faithful to the story that God is calling us to embody. So he has the season of awakening and a brief season of joy over that dream and vision and awakening, which then leads him into the season of reversal. And you might see that in your own life where you begin with hope and anticipation. Maybe as a young person you had that, and somewhere between 19 and 29, so many of those hopes and aspirations look like your life just results in the exact opposite of what you thought you were going to encounter over that early decade. It's the season of reversal. You've probably been there in your own journey. Joseph certainly was, and we've certainly encountered that as a community. And the season of the reversal for Joseph was characterized by being thrown into a pit and abandoned by those he loved and eventually sold over to his enemies to serve them. So Joseph's life takes this dramatic turn when his brothers throw him into this pit. They sell him into slavery, and this is his season of reversal. This is where his dreams seem distant, not just distant, but downright impossible. And with all the joy that we get to experience together as we grow together, there's also been difficulty and sorrow. As a church, we, and Linda has even referenced them, we faced our own moments in the pit, whether it was financial challenges, or it was loss, or if it was difficult transitions, or as, what is the phrase she used? Messy people who kept bumping into one another. Yeah. It was a season where it felt like my job was just to get through the bumper car race by the end of the day and still be able to snap my seatbelt and walk home. That's a great imagery. Messy people who were all bumping into one another. There were many seasons where they didn't feel like things were going as planned and where we questioned if we could even climb out of the struggles. But like Joseph, God has never abandoned us in our moments in the pit. He was constantly working behind the scenes, preparing the next chapter of our story. And in these tough times, our community grew stronger, leaning on God and one another. And sure, like all churches, I mean, every church in America shrunk in the year 2020 through the year 2022. And there isn't like a story of, and then 2021 happened and everybody came back to church. No, that's not how the story went. But in that pruning, and when people had to go wherever God was leading them in their story, and that's their story for us to bless, in that pruning, we were being prepared to bear greater fruit. And that is because God never gave up. He never abandoned, and he never worried in the same ways that we did. And so Joseph goes through this season of awakening to a season of reversal. And then finally, it kind of moves into a new season of promotion where there's some initial success and celebration. But most importantly, what that early years of success is about actually isn't success. It's about growth in character. That we have to learn to handle both difficulty and success with the Spirit of Christ intact, so that even whenever we move from difficulty to relief, or we see manifested those things we've hoped for, the people that we are as we appreciate them aren't people who are haughty and triumphalistic, but we're humble and we're grateful. And so Joseph had this. Even as a slave in Potiphar's house, Joseph found favor with God. He rose to a place of influence because of his integrity and his work ethic. However, even during this season of success, Joseph faced false accusations that landed him in prison. And really, it's the prison years that seem to be the most fascinating part of Joseph's life, because those are the years that he lives in complete obscurity. And any kind of spiritual insight or gift that he had during that time, really, from all we can see, was only recognized by one individual who was, was the cupbearer or the baker that was the good guy? Anybody? None of you know either, so we're all in the same place. Cupbearer. So, except for this cupbearer who eventually will come to remember Joseph, but really, that's the only acknowledgement we see during the prison years. The prison years are tougher than the pit years because you've tasted success before them. To go right to the pit and not have anything to compare it to, yes, that's difficult. But to go like, oh, it's changing now. I'm too stressed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. And God's being faithful. And this is all really good. And yes, this is like it. Faith pays off. God will do what he says he will do. You know, we say all the things, right? But then if that gets reversed and we get brought back down, that is even more painful. Because now there's something to compare it to. And that's when you ask the questions, where did it go wrong? What did I do? Because if I could just figure out what I did wrong, if I ever get back there, maybe I can be secure in thinking it will never happen to me again, this reversal. So Joseph had a lot of time to sit and think about that, to wonder about whether or not God was going to be faithful to him and to the dream that he had given him. We've done the same. We've seen success here. Ministries growing, lives encountering grace and opportunities to serve our community. But even in our successes, we have faced these challenges. Sometimes unfair criticism, sometimes fair criticism that we needed to learn from. Sometimes there were just obstacles, and these were obstacles that we could not have foreseen. But like Joseph, our success as a church is about serving and letting God's presence be evident in all we do. And this is a foundational conviction of the leadership here. It is not about numbers or recognition. It is about character and integrity and staying true to God's calling to live the revelation of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And living in that place makes everything that was left behind completely worth it. Then as he moves through this season, then there's this season of faithfulness and obscurity, which I've already jumped in talking about, I know. But despite being in prison, Joseph remained faithful to God. He seemed like he'd been forgotten. He was in obscurity. And even when we went through our own seasons of obscurity and uncertainty, there were times when the fruits of our labor weren't immediately visible, and yet God was preparing us just as he did for Joseph. And I think one of the things that we did here as a collective community that I was really proud of is when I got invited to participate in Ardmore's Night of Lament over COVID. We did it about a year after. We did it out at the football stadium. Several churches were involved, where we just took this collective moment to stand around and say, this was hard. And we took a moment to grieve losses. But then the reality emerged. We were all still standing there together. And the same has been true. There were no seminary courses about how to pastor during a pandemic. Hopefully there might be now, but they weren't when I went through. That 2020 was so uncertain. The whole world seemed to have gone crazy, not just with COVID, but with racial and political tensions. And yes, just like every other church, our numbers were smaller, but look around. Here we are. We're on the other side of this thing, and God has continued to be faithful, and we get to celebrate that together. And then, of course, after that season of obscurity in prison, then there's that season, that final season, that's the season of service and influence. Eventually, Joseph was elevated to second in command in Egypt, overseeing the nation's resources during famine. His trials were not in vain. They were part of God's preparation for a time of greater influence. And looking at where we are today, where we stand today, we can see how God has been preparing us. Our influence in the community and beyond has grown, and it will continue to grow. We know the way will not be easy, but we also know that we have had the privilege of being invited to keep in step with the Spirit in a distinct expression of the body of Christ in Carter County. I am so grateful for the privilege of getting to do this every Sunday morning. It brings life to my soul because of the way that God has wired me. But what I know is who we are as a community is not about what takes place in our family gatherings on Sunday mornings. This is why God has allowed us to increase staff and to disperse responsibilities. It's why the elders work so hard to not just be administrators, but co-shepherds along with the other staff and leaders of this body. This is why we see that our influence will grow, not because we want to be clever about how we do Sunday morning, but because we want to be more faithful about the time we all spend around tables. Time we all spend in circles. The reason why Christ Community Church will have a significant place in this community isn't because of a vision to become a mega church, but it's because maybe next fall there'll be 2 to 5 more individuals that will say, I'd like to host a community group. Because someone else would say, I was really moved by this study. Can I do a study as well? And just have a few people that sit around a table with me while we look and we break down the truth and as we are present to one another. It happens if that's not your thing, because maybe you're more an introvert and a doer, but you find out that Shauna Carnahan needs another person to come help at the Food and Resource Center. And you go to the Food and Resource Center and you maybe you volunteered for the hard jobs because you're such an introvert. Maybe you go and volunteer for the freezer work. And you walk into the freezer and there's someone else there working. And as you're working together, maybe even though you're the senior pastor of the church, you find out they actually attend the church. And it happened to be the first time you realized that they were part of the church. And while you're in the cold restocking lettuce, you start to share your lives. And the very next Sunday, you recognize one another in the way you didn't recognize all the previous Sundays. This is how it works. This is how growth happens. And so it is in the micro aspects of what we give ourselves to that allows us to begin to understand that God has called us to be a community that sits with people around tables. And we're patient with one another as we walk through this journey, which, by the way, is way more complex and complicated than we were told it was going to be when we signed on. But it's okay. Because as I said before, when you cannot, through sheer faith, feel the presence of Christ, you can walk into your Thursday community group, or you can walk into Sunday morning, and there is Christ in the flesh available to you. As we learn to represent Christ to one another. And that's why the greatest years are ahead of us. Because in the end, people may not make much of Christ Community Church, but I thoroughly believe if we're faithful, because we were here, people will make much of Jesus. So the difficulties and trials have shaped us into a community that I believe serves with greater understanding and compassion. So as we think about Joseph's life, I did pretty good, 1107. Oh, there we are. Good. Good move. I think actually I did that, not them. So, but as we close this time. And again, I'm not recovered from the opening, so I just really am grateful for you all this morning and what you communicated. I am grateful to have served this community. But as we reflect on Joseph, let's consider for a second, not just our community, but where are you as an individual? Do you see patterns of Joseph's life as you stop and reflect upon your own? Because what I would encourage you to do is just take a moment as we get ready to close and we come to the Lord's table, take a moment to discern your season. Where are you right now? Because what we realize is that the story of Joseph is linear, but this experience is circular. You will revisit times of dreams, the pit, the success, the prison, and then finally the fulfillment. This cycle will continue until we stop taking a breath. Promise, full of faith, circumstance, reversal, stay faithful in disappointment, and then God turns things all around just like that in ways that we couldn't foresee, and all of a sudden we're exactly where God wants us to be. Where are you right now? It is important, though, to take a moment and say, I do see that cycle. And frankly, I'm back in the pit this morning. Or you may say, I do see that cycle. I'm in a new place of ministry that I didn't think I could be before because of the way God has worked in me through the suffering that's come before. So where are you in that season? I think a fun thing to do would take to have a conversation with your partner, with a friend this week, and ask one another, where are you in that cycle? And share your lives together. Number two, wherever it is, stay faithful. It will always be worth it. Whether we're in a season of success or a time of challenge, let's remember Joseph's story and stay faithful to what God is doing. And then, if like me, you are 50 and beyond, this gets a little bit more challenging. But I implore you to keep dreaming. Don't stop. 70 is not the time to stop dreaming. 80 is not the time to stop dreaming. Keep dreaming and keep trusting. Because what you do acquire when you dream beyond 55 years of age is a conscious awareness that you're not just dreaming your dreams, you're participating in the dreams of God. And there is more ministry for us post-retirement than there is pre-retirement. If we don't wither away in cynicism and frustration, we have to keep dreaming. You know, I will say one of the unexpected things when we do the optics and variables to understand, you know, maybe where we've grown and so forth, and, you know, what are the demographic needs and just things that a responsible organization should do. As expected, what we see is the greatest demographic is usually typically the growth in young families. That would be fairly expected at any church in America. And I am grateful for the opportunity to be involved in young families. I mean, after 2020, some of the only church growth we had is you all having babies. So certainly we're grateful for that. But as you look at the numbers or look around the room, the other thing that's remarkable is the increase in the number of senior citizens that are part of our community. And I say this because this is a treasure, my friends. What I did not want to do is be like a Gen X pastor that just had a renewed hip young church. I want intergenerational growth. Those of you in this room who are my seniors, you may look at me on Sunday morning as your pastor, but I assure you, you are my shepherds. I need your life experience. I need your wisdom. It is
the way God has used you just as much as he has used Bible study to shape my character. So thank you for staying with us when it seemed like the chaos of the basketball shorts and the crazy schedules, like, what is going on here? What, this church is going to go right downhill. And yet we realize God is faithful in the midst of all of that. And because there are people older than me willing to be patient with me, I finally became close proximity to the man God's making me to be. And so my hope is that there's someone younger than me that will become a better man or woman because I showed them what it looked like to abide in Christ when you're 50 years old, just as you all have done. So would you all stand with me? Discern your season. Stay faithful in disappointment and keep dreaming God's dreams. On the night that our Lord was betrayed,